I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want you to get mad.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Well, you know that was from the network TV show, I should say the movie, 1976, Network, where the anchor absolutely gets mad and tells everybody, stand up where you are. I want you to stand up and shout, mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm sorry to say, but on Easter Sunday, when I heard Biden's proclamation that Easter Sunday would be Transgender Visibility Day, that broke it. I went over the top. I did get mad as hell, and I'm not taking it anymore. But a word of caution. First of all, it's Easter. The most highly holy day, of course, for Christians, but more importantly, sharing God's love and care and compassion. I went 180 degrees different, but there's also some more background to it. We're going to break it all down for you as you move forward, because I, encountering people in different places I saw through Easter and the day going into Easter when word began to come out, there is more to the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, that you really need to know to have a clear understanding. Doesn't mean it's going to make it right by you. And we're going to be joined later in this same hour by a pastor who is leading a group that is very concerned about this as well. He's the director of Passion for Truth Ministries. So you'll hear from him and his take as well. We have a lot to cover for you. Here we are. This is April 1, April Fool's Day, but no fooling around on this day. Not for this program. And, of course, this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here Monday through Friday for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we're also putting up a podcast. And I should say video you can watch at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And we do have podcasts that are put up after the program concludes. You can always locate whatever you missed or replay or share, LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. Going to be very easy to find us. So we're going to get back to this issue about March 31 also being designated as Transgender Visibility Day. But there was something else that happened Friday going into the holiday that took a lot of attention and obviously got a lot of folks upset also. Let's begin with the report as filed by Lawrence O'Donnell. This was on Friday.
Well, the presidential campaign came to New York City tonight. In fact, it's across the street from here at Radio City Music Hall, where the single biggest fundraiser of the presidential campaign took place tonight with three presidents on stage, Biden, Obama, and Clinton. The event shows the unity of the Democratic Party, not just the Democratic Party today, but the Democratic Party of the last 30 years as it was led by President Bill Clinton, then President Barack Obama, and now President Joe Biden. A similar gathering on the Republican side of the presidential campaign is impossible, because the Republican Party is not unified. The Republican Party has been shattered. by Donald Trump.
Yeah, they're going to lay that at the feet of Donald Trump. And yes, in part, that's correct. There's division within the GOP party. And Donald Trump does bear responsibility for some of it, or credit. Keep in mind, blaming credit, there's a very thin line between the two. Some would say, I'm going to give him credit for breaking up the old GOP and reestablishing things. Others on the other side are going to say, I'm going to put blame on him because he's destroying our chances to continue to excel and move forward. Look at the 2022 midterm elections. Well, of course, Trump has also put that blame upon Ronna McDaniel. That's why she is out, why she is no longer in charge of the RNC, and he's got his own piece, own people inside, including a relative, which is all acceptable. But Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC is going to make it very clear in his opinion that the issue is not anything but Donald Trump as to why the party's so split. There are issues inside the party. There are issues inside the party that some just will not acknowledge that can be a breaking point. The first and foremost that is a breaking point issue is abortion. Even strong conservatives have reservations about banning all abortions for any reason whatsoever. There are other conservatives that don't like abortions. They're all about sanctity of life and preservation, but they allow and accept some exclusions. That's a major split inside a conservative base. We're going to see how it plays out, of course, going forward, but even for those divisions that exist in that arena, it's going to get down to, do you want more of Joe Biden? And that, I think, is going to be the defining issue. We're right back to what we were when Trump ran against Hillary Clinton to that extent. Some might say, I'm going to go with the lesser of two evils. And you might consider Trump evil. Many might consider Biden evil. And many for Trump as well. Let's be fair about it. I know some of you don't like the fact that I'm always bringing up the other side, but it's part of my basic fabric. I got to make sure you see both sides because I'm not telling you how to think. I'm putting in front of you with my opinion now, but it's your decision. It'll be your decision on voting day. I am totally amazed that some surveys still show one of them, 37% think Biden's got the economy going great. 37%? That's 20-point drop from some months ago. And I wonder how much deeper that'll go before the actual election day. Election day is the poll that counts. And, of course, then you also have, as we did with Hillary, who's going to have the appointment over federal judges and especially U.S. Supreme Court if a vacancy occurs. Let me go back in time real fast for you. To me, that became a defining point between Hillary and Trump, even if I did not detest Hillary Benghazi Clinton. But I did not want her and her liberal side, regressive, not progressive, appointing justices to the Supreme Court. I wanted justices appointed who believe in the law and go with the Constitution. Now, the reason we have 9 justices is because they all get to take a look at it. They're all supposedly learning, and they're making decisions based, supposedly, on the Constitution and the law. We know that doesn't always happen. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Obama tried to get her to leave before he was out of office. She would not go. And as I've said before, I'm sure she thought Hillary was going to win, and she's going to Hillary appoint her replacement. Hillary didn't win. There went that plan. And then we had 2 more vacancies occur. So Trump got 3 appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. They've not always voted in lockstep with each other, nor with some of what we think we would have preferred. But I think they're doing a good job judicially. And then, of course, Biden got to appoint Justice Brown, got a real problem with her from so many different directions. But aside from that, that's part of the game. That is, as even Obama stated, the winner does get the spoils, and losing has consequences. So while Lawrence O'Donnell was making a big deal about how these presidents all came together on the same stage, we'll never get that with the GOP, not since Donald Trump. Judge Jeanine, to give you a balance on Fox News, was pointing out her view of their gathering and Trump.
Joe Biden was in the Big Apple for a fundraising extravaganza. He's right across the street at Radio City Music Hall for a star-studded event. But of course, Biden can't be counted on to raise the money by himself. So his campaign is calling in Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. The trio will cozy up to celebrities and participate in a hard-hitting interview with Stephen Colbert. They'll also enjoy musical performances by Queen Latifah and Lizzo. Tickets cost up to $500,000 each, making it the most lucrative political fundraiser in U.S. history. Obama's major show of support coming after reports that he's been frantically calling Biden's staff, fearing a Trump rematch. An aide telling the Times Obama has always worried about a Biden loss and that Obama is prepared to, quote, eke it out alongside Biden on the campaign trail.
We're going to see how far he ekes it out. And I will remind you that even Obama was caught telling an aide, according to sources, Joe better not F this up. That was when he first was going into office. I will add, Judge Jeanine made a point of saying the three presidents on the stage look like three stooges. Well, that's harsh. But her opinion. While they were doing that, President Trump was on Long Island for the wake of a slain NYPD cop, Jonathan Diller. They could have gotten to the funeral. Biden could have if he wanted to. Trump estimated, you know, since we travel so fast, motorcade could have gotten from the event, his fundraiser, or from the funeral to the fundraiser in 40 minutes or less. He said, but they didn't even bother calling the family to offer condolences. And he pointed out the other day, Trump's said that Biden's base would not allow him to support police. That's pretty true. And also, Governor Hochul did show up. Governor Hochul showed up at the funeral, at the burial site. And some were so irate, they told her, you have to leave. I don't think she was on the ground 10 minutes before she got back in her car and left. Message delivered. All right, well, many Christians over this Easter were certainly angry because President Biden declared March 31st Transgender Visibility Day. But he's done it previously. And March 31st is recognized internationally as Transgender Day. So the issue this year, March 31st, fell on Easter Sunday, the most holy Christian holiday.
Well, if you are one of the faithful, you're in good company. There are a lot of people celebrating holidays, Christians, Jews, Muslims, all the holy days happening at the same time. The rare religious overlap, it's not going to happen again for at least another 32 years. But today, Christians worldwide are observing Good Friday as the day Jesus Christ was crucified. On Sunday, they will celebrate Easter and Resurrection Day, the day he rose from the dead. Jews are celebrating, marking Passover, the biblical story of a mass exodus from slavery in Egypt and their protection, their supernatural and divine protection during that time. Muslims are observing Ramadan. It's a holy month focused on fasting, prayer, reflection, and community.
And it all happened to fall at one point. Now, it is not the first time it has done so, but it happens about every 30-plus years. The International Transgender Day of Visibility was set to be March 31, some time ago. It was not just for this particular Easter. Now, Easter normally falls in April. It came different this year based upon the lunar calendar, the way it falls. The creator of the International Transgender Day of Visibility, Rachel Crandall Crocker, wanted people to have a moment of happiness, so she had made a Facebook posting at some point stating again, I think it's important that we recognize this. This was 2009. And she's referring in particular at that point to 1998. Rita Hester, a black transgender woman in Boston, stabbed in her own apartment. So transgender women were trying to get together and come up with a way to commemorate that and decide that. So they made the decision. Crandall Crocker decided to create the day herself, stating March 31 would be International Transgender Day of Visibility. Well, of course, it got picked up in the trans community, and March 31 got locked down for Transgender Day of Visibility. So the date was already there. Easter just fell on that particular day, this Sunday. But as you were also hearing in that PBS report, we had all three religions holding celebrations over the same period of time. Christians for for Easter, and Jews, of course, for their celebration, obviously, Passover. And then we had Muslims celebrating part of Ramadan was still underway. Now, the question I had, despite this knowledge, despite now, and I had to admit it first when I heard Biden declared Easter Sunday Transgender Day. He actually declared March 31. But did someone in his office not know, pay attention, say, this is not a good idea to make a big proclamation? You've done it before, March 31, just let it slide. Don't make that big of a deal. He didn't declare Easter is Transgender Visibility Day. He declared March 31. Now, on the other side, as Christian, you're to love and embrace and take in everyone. So it's not a matter of hating transgenders, just saying it's contrary to biblical teaching, as you read it, as I read it. But the question that is really in the back of my mind, and I'm going to put in front of a guest coming up, if they had known, if the Biden staff had looked ahead of the calendar, maybe they did and saw, well, March 31 is going to be on Easter Sunday. Maybe we need to not do it, or maybe they didn't pay attention. Or they knowingly did it, knowing that we'd get this kind of backlash and make a bigger deal of it. But my question is, if Ramadan had started on March 31, the beginning of the most holy period for Muslims, would they have dared say March 31 is Transgender Visibility Day, or would they just kind of let it slide? My thought is because it is Easter, they decided, if they even looked ahead, we don't really care. Let's go. But Ramadan, the Muslim religion, I'm not so sure they have been pushing transgenders, because the pushing of transgenders by the many Sharia law Muslims has pushed them off a building. A pastor coming out to break this down for us. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Pastor Jim Staley, director of the Passion for Truth Ministries. Pastor, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be on the show.
And pray that you had a very blessed Easter. I'm sure you did, I hope.
No, it's always blessed over here for sure, regardless of what President Biden does.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let me ask you something very quickly. Why did you feel a need to put in politics into that statement?
Well, it's very simple. First of all, I am not one of those pastors that separates church and state. I'm one of those that knows my history and understands that if the state is supposed to stay out of the church, and if it wasn't for pastors from the very beginning, there would be no war of independence. So it's our responsibility to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, regardless of where it lands.
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire a little bit longer, sir, because I raised no question about politics, and you just simply inserted Biden as a reason that would be wrong for our nation going forward. I'm not going to disagree with it, but you suddenly lumped it in with Easter.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he kind of started that now, didn't he? You know, when you take less than 5% of America that claims to, you know, to be in that LGBTQ, you know, scenario, and you pit it against the 65% of Americans that claim to be Christian, that believe that this holiday is holy and sacred to their faith and the foundation of how they live their life. When he makes a statement, or the White House comes out with a statement saying that we're not trying to divide people, you guys are dividing people, I really disagree with that. That statement of coming out on Easter, saying what he did, projecting this minority that has, you know, they need mental health, in my opinion. God bless their souls. We love them. But behavior is not something that fits inside the Judeo-Christian value system. We've got a big problem on our hands. It would be equivalent to the president coming out on Passover, when Jews everywhere are celebrating Passover, and Christians, a lot of Christians celebrating Passover these days, and declaring a National Bacon Day. That it's an insult to the faith of the individual.
I see it going any farther. Before you joined us, I was in going over some of this with the audience, and of course we did have a rare holiday crossover this time. We had Jews, Christians, and Muslims all celebrating religious holidays. And my thought was, and the background of the date is March 31, not that Easter is Transgender Day, March 31. But why didn't the White House look ahead, or did they, and not care and realize that March 31 would fall on Easter this time? Why not just let it slide? It's an internationally recognized date. It has been recognized previously in this nation. It just did fall Easter, March 31. It only happens about 30-plus years, every 30 or so years.
Yeah, I don't think it happens again for another 60 years, if I recall.
But I think you may be right. Look,
to your point, this holiday, if that's what you want to call it, this recognition of this minority has been going on since 2009 for sure.
Right,
why does
nobody
know about it?
Right.
Because Biden is the very first one to actually come out and recognize it. And I don't know who writes his stuff or if he does what he does because of who he is, but the wisdom of an administration to recognize such a holiday on the day of the most recognized day in Christianity worldwide is really an assault. Now, the liberal media has spun it as, hey, Easter changes every year and it was just coincidence. Okay, that's a fact, but it is also a fact that he chose to do this. And it is an assault to Christians everywhere because we have a White House that is promoting a new ideology that now the ideology is we support every minority. See, minorities used to be defined in ethnicity, quite frankly. Now the word minority is being changed to include anybody anywhere that has any agenda, regardless of almost if it's borderline criminal or mental or any kind of medical condition. Now those are minorities that are receiving money from the federal government in props.
And I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. And the so-called progressives, which I call regressive, Pastor Jim Staley, Director of Passion for Truth Ministries, I fully agree with a lot of what you were saying. And I still go back to the one point that, you know, that I fully agree with you, and the numbers and the facts are there as to how large the transgender population is. And the regressives have changed so many words to spin them so they have a new meaning that we're all supposed to simply accept it as if, again, multiple genders. But if they had real, if by chance the start of Ramadan, not, I know we're in the middle of Ramadan, but if the start of Ramadan had been Sunday, March 31st, or even it starts on March 31st in a future year, you think they would be coming out and declaring Transgender Day, Visibility Day, on the start of Ramadan, the beginning of the most holy time for Muslims, when many Muslims, especially Sharia Muslims, will kill homosexuals?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, anyone to think that this is not, that this is a coincidence, that there was not an agenda behind this. This is an anti-Christian, in a former administration with the Obama administration was anti-Israel. This is a, you know, my Bible as a pastor, I got to come from the perspective of the scriptures. And the Bible says that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities of this present darkness. And so there is a very spiritual, real war that's happening, and the puppets in Washington are being used to promote an agenda that, quite frankly, if you know your history, was an agenda that got into Rome that caused its downfall. It was homosexuality and the transgender movement, quite frankly, if you know your history,
right,
that caused Rome to fall. And that's where we're headed, is a superpower. We are arrogant to think that we will be the only superpower in world history that will not fall. Everyone has fallen, and everyone had this happen right before they did.
And, you know, I take note also that I tend to side with you that there were some that were probably gleeful. Oh, look, it's Easter. We get to proclaim it on Easter. I mean, that it wasn't by chance. It wasn't by a fact that it falls on the date. But they were glad and happy to say we can declare Easter Sunday is Transgender Visibility Day. I mean, they're marking March 31, but they also know Easter is on that day.
Well, they also, you're 100% right. I agree with you. Out of all the shows I've done today, you're the first one to pull that up. And I think it's a great point because from their perspective, they want the attention. And this was a phenomenal opportunity for them to steal the spotlight off of Jesus Christ, Yeshua in the Hebrew, and pull the spotlight to them. And because they feel like this is their resurrection. This is their opportunity. And it stole the spotlight. There's just no wisdom in the president. Even if the president himself fully agrees. Now, the White House says, you know, he's Christian. He's not out to divide. I know that my Bible tells me to judge by the fruit, and there is nothing that I see that is remotely in the image of Christ at all. So I question that statement. that's coming out, because when you start supporting the death of the unborn, you start supporting things that are heinously forbidden in Scripture, you're walking a dangerous line. When God endorsed this country off of the Judeo-Christian principles and people bled and died so that we could be free from tyranny and absolutely practice the freedom of religion, and every courthouse has our Judeo-Christian symbols on it of Moses, and this is a denigration of not just our Christian faith. This is an absolute stepping on the gravestones of the men and women that and young people that died to make this country free.
And then, of course, the other side, and I'm not speaking for transgenders or homosexuals. I know a couple of transgender. I do know several lesbian homosexuals. But bottom line is, I mean, and some of them are even Republican conservative, to be quite honest. It's just their way of life. It's, and I don't like to judge people on their way of life. I leave that to God, but it's not my way. But what do you respond to? They say your Bible talks about loving and everything, and the birth of Jesus, you should have been embracing Transgender Day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I saw a pastor this morning on a radio show, on a television show, in fact, that made that exact point. And I would say, look, you're making a grave mistake, because the God of the Bible that is full of, you know, Jesus, that is love and embracing, he also is the God of vengeance. He's the God that will be judging this earth. And the most loving thing that you can do to a child who is confused about its gender is to help them understand that God made two genders. In Christianity, we do not define love as embracing sin. Sin is called out, and Jesus made a great point when he came to the woman at the well. It was caught in sin. She had five husbands. She was out of wedlock now. And Jesus did not say, you know what, come here, let me give you a big hug. I embrace you. You know, your sin is okay. No. Anytime someone preached, he told her to go and sin no more in love and saved her life. When a Christianity comes to a place where someone is going to preach that the law of grace includes the ability to sin, then the Apostle Paul has to be quoted and says, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. We do not endorse sin, according to the Scriptures, and change the law of love. Loving your neighbor does not include being okay with them molesting their children, no. Because where does it stop?
Right. Perfect point. Pastor Jim Staley, Director of Passion for Truth Ministries, I'm glad you could make time for us today with, as you said, several other interviews. Glad to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Pastor Jim Staley, Director of Passion for Truth Ministries. Coming up in our closing segment of this hour, you would be surprised who is calling out MSNBC because they wanted to fire, and did, Rona McDaniel. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A few more words on this issue, which really enraged Christians over the weekend. And I count myself among them. And also count myself among those who did not have full information in front of me, but it still angers me. Oh, let me put it that way. I did not know that Transgender Visibility Day had been declared back in 2009 as an International Transgender Visibility Day, March 31. And the way Easter fell this year, way earlier than normal, normally in April, it happened to coincide. And it is about every 30, maybe more years that it will happen again. I don't know where our world will be at that point, assuming the world still exists, that God just doesn't give up on us and say, I've had it. I'm sending my son back and it's over. But I will point this out. Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana, did also join other conservatives over the weekend, blasted the White House for the timing of Transgender Day of Visibility. Also concerned and upset over preventing symbols from being used on the Easter egg art contest, Christian and religious symbols, which is another issue. But let's just stick with this point of March 31 and Easter Sunday being Transgender Day. He stated on Twitter, "The Biden White House has betrayed the central tenet of Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, banning sacred truth and tradition, while at the same time proclaiming Easter Sunday as Transgender Day is outrageous and abhorrent. The American people are taking note." If you're at the beginning of today's program, you know where I stand on this. If you missed it, you definitely need to go back and pull up this podcast later today and make sure you hear at least the beginning of today's program. But the response from the White House, pointing out how March 31st being an international holiday for trans or recognition of transgender, let me put it that way, and it was first recognized 15 years ago. Again, I will claim, and I thought I was fairly informed, but I think it just maybe reassured me that my knowledge may run a mile wide and a mile long, but only a quarter of an inch thick in some areas. The White House, in response in talking about the Transgender Day, even I think the president's actually quoted here, President Biden did say today, he stated, Speaker Mike Johnson was, quote, uninformed of his criticism for Transgender Day falling on Easter. And then Jill Biden wrote on Twitter, FYI, on all the misleading swirl reference of White House and Easter, the American Egg Board Flyers standard non-discrimination language requesting artwork has been used for the last 45 years across all Dem and Republican administrations for all White House Easter roles, including the previous administration. So that's the explanation as to why there are no symbols, religious symbols, being on any of the eggs. Pointing out it was the same way under Trump. Nobody made any noise over it. But all this came together at one time, and that suddenly escalated things rapidly. There's some developments I need to bring you up to speed on. First of all, there's a report of a senior Iranian commander killed after what appeared to be an Israeli strike on an embassy in Syria. Now, as the day this day goes on into tomorrow, we'll get more information. But they're claiming that earlier today, the senior commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard was killed in Syria at the Iranian embassy. So this is saying that an Israeli missile flattened the Iranian consulate in Damascus and killing him and several others. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported 7 Iranian officers also killed. And, of course, Tehran is vowing a harsh military response. A statement from the Iranian ambassador to Syria, ambassador leader, said the embassy was attacked by F-35 fighter jets and 6 missiles. And they are accusing Israel of violating international laws, said it does, quote, everything quite contrary to humanity. So far, no response from the Israeli military, but they rarely acknowledge any strikes inside of Syria. But we know they have for years been carrying out various warfare in that area because they want to get rid of the terrorists. Simple as that. In the meantime, an Iran-affiliated jihadist entity is claiming responsibility today for a reported drone strike on Eilat, Israel. They hit a naval building. They say the attack did not cause any meaningful damage, but does signal an interest on the part of the Islamic resistance in Iraq to elevate its profile as one of several terrorist entities seeking to support the Sunni jihadist terrorist organization Hamas. All of these terrorist groups, they actually have some division within sight of some of them. And they don't like the others in some cases. But they also have one common enemy, and that would be you, Americans, Israelis, Jews, any religion, even their own Muslim brothers and sisters, if they will not follow Sharia law and abide by it strictly. The press TV source noted that the Islamic resistance in Iraq did not specify what kind of attack it engaged in against Israel, what it did target, but the Times of Israel is citing that it was a drone apparently launched from Iraq hitting the port city of Eilat. That's on the southern tip of Israel. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, maybe Eilat, giving the country access to the Red Sea. The building that forms a naval base in the city suffered minor damage. It's not clear if the drone was trying to hit the Israeli Navy or simply do some damage to the port. Now, this community, Eilat, has experienced some of the most harm from jihadist terrorists because it is on the Red Sea. They're trying to disrupt daily life in Israel, importing and also exporting. So the target was under IDF surveillance. It did not penetrate into Israeli territory, according to some reports from the Israelis. And now for those of you back on this side of the ocean, and we have listeners all around the world, so I never know for some of you are listening, because with our app, the Newstalk STL app, you can listen from anywhere. Simple to download to your phone. It's free. You can use it in your car and play it back through your Bluetooth, or you can open it anywhere in the world, and you can listen to the program as it's on the air, as we are airing numerous programs, or you can pull up podcasts and listen the same. But here comes this word, and I'm wondering how this is going to go over with a particular community, and I'm sure it will come to mind for you as well, how fast this is going to happen. You recall, of course, the Ohio-Pennsylvania train derailment, East Palestine. Palestine, I think they call it. It is East Palestine. Biden skipped going there right after that disastrous derailment, forcing massive evacuations. They had to set various fires to control other fires, and waters and soil and air were all hazardous at that point. And it didn't go, and it didn't go, and it didn't go. Trump went. Well, he wasn't even president, but he went, brought convoys of trucks with water and other provisions. Well, the word has been issued that this Friday, President Biden will visit Baltimore to visit the site of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. White House press secretary said, "We are with you, Baltimore. We will be there to get this done." Baltimore and Maryland are deep blue. And Biden, by the way, of course, said, "I traveled over that bridge many times by car and rail," which is a lie or a fabrication or total nonsense. There is no rail crossing the Francis Scott Key Bridge, only automobile traffic, trucks, motorcycles, no trains. But he is going to show up in Baltimore and show them that, hey, we're with you. That is almost spitting in the face of those in East Palestine, is it not? Last week, NBC, of course, decided to cancel its newly announced contract with former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel, and it continues to have impact. And of course, remember the MSNBC hosts say, "We're not going to have her on our program. We're just not going to do it." And Chuck Todd took apart the fact that she was on Meet the Press right after it was announced she was going to be an NBC analyst, paid something like $600,000 or better. But the host on MSNBC said, "No way, Morning Joe, Joy Reid, Rachel Madcow," said, "not going to be on my program." Well, MSNBC got attacked over the weekend by an unlikely source when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think the point here is liberals are meant to believe in free speech. That is one of the foundational values of liberalism. And if you're going to say you're going to deplatform 85 million Americans, that's a lot of people. They say, no, it's not about that. It's that she lied. Well, you know, Bill Clinton lied under oath. I think last time I checked, he's been on MSNBC. They say, well, she's an election denier. Well, Stacey Abrams was an election denier about her own election, and they've had her on.
Yep, that's a very interesting take, as provided by CNN host Fareed Zakaria, saying they wanted to fire Ronna McDaniel because they say she's an election denier. They don't want her on their air, and he points out, rightly so, the hypocrisy. And the real hypocrisy, if this is coming from a plagiarist. I'll come back to that point in a moment. But Fareed Zakaria saying they've had Stacey Abrams on their program, MSNBC, repeatedly. She's an election denier. And to that extent, so is Hillary Clinton. And every Democrat who loses an election denier, they have them on without question. But they did not want Ronna on their program because she's an election denier. And to his credit, Fareed called them out. I did have a problem with this statement that liberals are all about freedom of speech. the hell they are. They're about their freedom of speech, not yours. Because if you have an opposing view, they will do everything they can to shut it down. They'll use big tech, they'll use government, they have, and they will continue if we allow them. But I also have a problem with Zachariah. He's still with CNN. He was a Time journalist for a time, but he got suspended because he realized he was plagiarizing. There were numerous cases, not just a quote here and a quote there. They found numerous cases where he plagiarized something. But then again, so did Joe Biden. But he said of McDaniel's firing from NBC, let me repeat it for you. Bill Clinton lied under oath. I think last time I checked, he's been on MSNBC. That is true. They say McDaniel's an election denier. Well, Stacey Abrams was an election denier about her own election. They've had her on. That's correct. She's a two-time failed gubernatorial candidate, refused to concede the election to Governor Kemp in 2018, and even suggested Kemp, as then Secretary of State, suppress Georgia votes. See, it all comes back to bite them in the butt, doesn't it? The hypocrisy is always there. It is the dog at your ankles. You're not going to shake it loose. And we'll make sure we'll sick another one on you in the process. Coming up in the next hour, Hunter Biden, we have not forgotten about you. And also how blue cities say, you're welcome, but let's move on. Move on, move on. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.